Well, he has been a teacher, a cab driver, writer, broadcaster, more or less in that order. And now he's a podcaster on the line with us right now from his home in Madison, Wisconsin. I assume he's at his home in Madison, Wisconsin. Is Michael Feldman, creator and host of What Do You Know? Michael, good afternoon. How are you?
You forgot lover, mad about town, particle physicist.
What's the joker, toker, midnight smoker, as Steve Miller would say.
There you go, yeah. I'm also an amateur particle physicist.
And author of, I think, 10 books, something like that? What's your most recent book?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
10? 1, 2,
I don't know. I
3,
never counted them.
4, there, 5,
yeah.
6,
some of them were
7, 8, 9, 10. I count 10.
Wow.
I know.
I didn't count up. I would have been overly impressed with myself if I had counted how many there were.
You better want to check your royalty checks.
Mostly each one was kind of a retelling of the one before. So well, I kept using the same material over and over again, for 30 years in a radio career, you know. You do what you do. It's just that's the way it is.
Well, I have a friend, Zeke Jackson, here in Pittsburgh, who says some people are in radio for 30 years and some people do the same year in radio 30 times over. Which one would you say for yourself?
No, well, I would agree with both those statements. I don't know. You know, you are who you are. You know, where else but in radio do you get to be a personality? So a personality is basically pretty well, there it is, you know, there's personality. So what, are you going to be a different personality every year? I don't think so.
So you have made the leap into podcasting, which seems to be the big thing right now. Did you leap or were you pushed?
Pushed.
Yeah.
I was pushed. It was like a horse in a swimming pool kind of thing for me. I had to be pushed. I still it's what I used to do when I was a kid. We used to call people up on the phone and record it and offer them free ice cream, Boy Blue ice cream, if they knew the capital of Bavaria. I don't know, Bavaria is a city. Capital
right.
of, well, Bavaria actually is more
it's
of a
province. State, right? Yeah, sure.
I forget what it was. I used to be very good at this when I was 12. And if they wanted, and we give them something, we never send it out. But, you know, and we record that. And it, to me, that's like with podcasting. It's like for people who wanted to be on the radio, when I was a kid, everyone wanted to be on the radio, be a DJ or whatever. And so we make these little mock radio shows and stuff. But in podcasting, I don't get it, because you're like broadcasting to a guy who's working out, you know, on a stair stepper.
Or driving around in their car or jogging.
Or trying to sleep. People use them as a sleep aid.
Oh, I hope not.
But it's a little insulting.
Give people your website address, please, so they can get this podcast.
Yes, well, there's various ways. You can get it on iTunes.
Uh-huh, that's how I get mine.
Way. Yeah, the What Do You Know podcast on iTunes would be the easiest way to do it. We also have a thing called whatdoyouknowoneword.net, which has a collection of all the stuff. It's got the blog things, and it's got the podcasts, and it's got the... I'm putting up an archives now of the first 30 years of my career. We leave last year off.
I've noticed that. Yeah, there's some real good stuff that's coming out there. And you also are very active on Twitter. Give people your Twitter handle.
I'm My Feldman.
As opposed to your Feldman. Michael
yes,
Feldman is the creator
Michael.
Of What Do You Know, which has gone from the radio to your iPod or your smartphone or wherever. I don't want to dwell on the negative, but I do want to ask you sort of about the state of public radio such as it is, which I think is also Bavaria, isn't it? Never mind. What is the capital of the state of public radio? You did What Do You Know on Wisconsin Public Radio and on PRI Public Radio International for 31 years?
Yes, 31 years.
Okay.
Cut off in my 31st year.
Yeah, that's, you know, so many of us have been cut down in the in the primes of our radio career. But so what happened up there?
I don't know, but you know, over the years I've had so many radio guys come to my show and it's just green in the face with envy, you know. Because you know how it is. I mean, you're an actual radio guy. I mean, I to me, that's an amazing thing. And, you know, my friend and cohort, Jim Packard, was my announcer for most of those years. And he had been fired on every radio station in southern Wisconsin. He just worked up to Highway 26, which cuts bisects Wisconsin, horizontally. But, you know, hired and fired all of them. And, that's so cool. But to me, you know, so one day you're a big shot on, you know, WOKY and Milwaukee, and next day you're working in South Prairie. And I think that's really cool. But these guys, you know, they were used to being bounced around. It's like baseball managers or something like that. They come to my show and they think, like, what a gig, you know. 30 years, it's like a job for life, really, and that, which is unknown in radio. So
it was
bizarre.
The good thing about being a WRCT is they don't pay you anything, so they can't fire me. God knows they would love to. Radio 9 with Jay Thurber here at 8 minutes after 1 o'clock. Michael Feldman is our guest. My Feldman on Twitter. What Do You Know on Facebook and on the Internet. What Do You Know, which longtime public radio staple, now a podcast. And I want to talk to you a little bit about making that jump, because you've kept the production values very high on the podcast, which for lot of podcasts are, you know, somebody sitting in their basement talking into a microphone or talking into the laptop, and yours sounds a little bit like, I want to say, old time radio, which there always was kind of a what was the big barn dance show? WLS had a barn dance show, and what was the big what's the big station up there in the Twin Cities in Minnesota that always had the barn dance programs. I mean, it had an event, and I have to tell you that when you used to do the random call outs, when you would have town of the week and you would call people from the phone book and they would hang up on you or say, I never heard of you, it was the Bob and Ray show come to life. It was, I'm sure you were dying inside, but it was very funny radio for the listeners.
Yeah, that was the only people liked it when things went wrong.
Of course they did.
And I can appreciate that. So, we used to get people thought it was a crank call or something. it used to be that we would just call them up cold like that and have them come on the air. But now, we were on NPR, and with the lawyer, lawyered up on it, saying this is a violation of several of the amendments to the Constitution. They wouldn't say which numbers, so they wouldn't give you the number. So anyhow, so then we'd say okay. But it used to be they'd hang up on me, and I would have done it myself if that happened to me, because it sounds like a crank call, you know.
Some joker from the radio is from Wisconsin is calling you, and you're in Pflugerland, Texas, or something like that.
Yes, if there is such a place.
The show, when you did your 30th anniversary, you replayed or you refed your very first show. And one of the things that was surprising to me was how much of the structure remained. I mean, it evolved some, but you had most of the elements that have continued. You had at the very beginning. Where did the structure come from?
You're speaking to a guy who's incapable of change, so it's not very. That's part of the personality.
It was easy enough, right? I'm playing songs that are 40, 50 years old on this show. I mean, so who are you talking to here, right?
You're right. Well, you know, I'm still doing my show right now, but I'm just doing it to my dog. So I mean, there's no. It's a disorder is what it is. You know, I was lucky enough to get broadcast, whatever the past tense would be, for all those years. You know, it was kind of a clinical disorder, which, you know, and when you think about it, doing radio, especially like personality radio, which practically I don't think doesn't exist anymore.
There's very few.
There's the call-in thing, you know, and the angry whatever, you know, which I never wanted. But that's why we did a quiz show in the first place, but I wanted to do a call-in show. Because I've been on WGN briefly.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about
for
that.
The worst part of a year, you know. But I got so infatuated with it, because we'd be on the air and we'd be on in, you know, 50,000 watts, so you'd be on in a dozen states at least. People calling in from all over on these stupid things. Like a guy called in and said that someone, a friend of his, had left a goat with him to babysit, and they didn't know what to do about it, and so I said, well, I don't know either, but let's ask our neighbor. There was a show in Milwaukee called Ask Your Neighbor, Gordon Hinckley.
Okay.
And the whole thing of the show was people would call and say, Gordon, how do you get bloodstains out of a pillowcase? And Gordon Hinckley, God love him, biggest star in Milwaukee radio history ever, said, I don't know, but let's ask our neighbors. And I grew up hearing that. I thought, God, you could do a show without knowing anything. Just turn it back on the audience, you know. So that's sort of what I grew up doing. And WGN was very much like that. So, and people called in from all over saying, well, you got to feed it to this or there, and you got to, I don't know what they said, because I wasn't listening, but I was enjoying it. And, so that's, to me, that's what this show was about. It was kind of trying to do like a local national radio show, you know, but just free-flowing, seat of the pants, and it was great. I had a chance to do it. It was rather amazing.
You grew up in Milwaukee, correct?
Correct.
What were you listening to back then?
Well, I was telling you about this. I won
Gordon Hinckley, yeah.
1 year, 1965, I won two guest DJ contests.
Okay.
In Milwaukee's two rock stations. Both of them had the contest, and I won them both with the same letter about having perfect diction because I like Demosthenes. I spoke pebbles in my mouth at Bradford Beach. You know. But I won both. So I got to go on WOKY.
Milwaukee and Milwaukee.
Yeah,
Milwaukee and Milwaukee. Mm-hmm.
Bob Berry, who is the five millionth and fifth Beatle. He's also the fifth Beatle.
Okay.
5 millionth and fifth Beatle, and WRIT, which is the other one.
Okay.
In Milwaukee, and do the show on it. So that sort of started me thinking about it.
But you took sort of a circuit.
After I did the WOKY, when Bob Berry said, and I had Bob Berry on a show with me, we did from Milwaukee later. He didn't remember me at all, of course. But afterwards he said, because I played all these songs and I was actually talking, you know, just talking as well. And he said, you can introduce the song, play it, and then give the time and the weather. He said, you know, you can't talk. And he said, you said you ought to go to college and forget about it for a while and see what happens.
So you took
his advice was to go to college and forget radio.
Which is probably good advice. Michael Feldman is our guest right now. He is the host of What Do You Know, which is now a podcast after almost 31 years on public radio from, as Bob and Ray used to say, approximately coast to coast. You can find him on Twitter at MyFeldman. You can also look for him on Facebook and on the internet at What Do You Know. Do you want to play one of those songs that you played on Walkie in Milwaukee all those years ago?
Sure. I don't know which one you want to hear there. I got a few. These are actually from my playlist. I played, the Milwaukee Braves were leaving town in 65.
Okay.
And the guy who owned them, what's his name? I looked it on. It's no longer in my mind, Banks. Anyhow, Lou Perini. Okay, Lou Perini owned the Braves, and we stole them fair and square from Boston. And they were the biggest thing ever to happen to Milwaukee, you know.
Even bigger than Laverne and Shirley.
Yes.
Okay.
Even bigger than that.
Okay.
1953, they came, and it was the biggest thing ever happened to Milwaukee. Everybody loved the Braves. We built a stadium and the whole deal, you know, like you're supposed to do. And Henry Aaron came up. That was his first year in the major leagues, you know. And it was magic. In 57, they won the the World Series against the Yankees. In 58, they went again, and they didn't. And 59, they tied for the pennant or something, and lost in the playoff, and that was it, you know. But it was great. We loved them, and then they were going to move to Atlanta, and it was just a terrible year. And so I decided to play What Kind of Fool Am I for Lou Perini.
All right, Michael Feldman with us, and we are going to play for Lou Perini all these years later. Anthony Dolley singing What Kind of Fool Am I here on Radio 9 with Jay Thurber and Michael Feldman on the phone from Madison.
WOKY in Milwaukee, 920.
What kind of fool am I? Who never fell in love? It seems that I'm the only one that I have been thinking of. What kind of man is this? An empty shell? A lonely cell in which an empty heart must dwell? What kind of lips are these that lied with every kiss, that that whispered empty words of love that left me alone like this. Why can't I? What kind of clown am I? What do I know of life? Why can't I cast away this mask of play and live my life?
The 1962 musical Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, Anthony Newley.
Jay Thurber.
Yeah, and that idiot, too. On the phone with me right now here at Radio 9 is Michael Feldman, creator and host of What Do You Know? Tweeting for you right
what
now.
What a great song.
What a great voice, too.
And he said, damn, you know, I got to play damn on it. which is also why I played the Louie Louie. Obviously, I had to do that. With the secret lyrics, you know, that you...
I was going to say, we'll get to that in just a little while. One thing I wanted to ask you about, and like I said, I don't want to dwell on the negative. What's happening go ahead. Yeah. fire
more
away.
More interesting than the button.
What did Zero Mostel say in the producers? Assume for a moment you are a dishonest man. Assume away. what's going on in public radio? Because it seems like it's getting homogenized down to, you know, another hour of all things weekend morning edition considered, and that's pretty much it. Is that kind of what's happened with you up at Wisconsin Public Radio? What happened here?
I don't know. I don't listen, and I actually never, quite honestly, I never listened. I'm not the public radio type.
Okay.
I always got my news from, my fillings. There's this, I could pick up radio broadcasts. I don't know. I didn't get it from All Things Considered or A Few More Things Considered or A Few Things Ill Considered or any of those. Morning Edition and, you know. I'm not the public radio type, so was part of the problem that I had actually was being on public radio was that I was not the type, you know, so that was a hard sell. But I couldn't tell you what's going on there now trend wise. I think I don't know. I know public television has got Lawrence Welk, and that's an evergreen,
mm-hmm.
and public radio must have, you know, like Morning Edition as their Lawrence Welk.
It just seems as if these stations are getting... We had a situation here in Pittsburgh where we had, you know, three competing public radio stations. We now have... We still have the three stations, but two of them have merged, and one of them is basically all NPR news all the time, and that seems like that's happening in market after market. If there's something quirky, if there's something off the wall, if there's something unusual, well, then we stomp that out. Let's get rid of that before it... becomes a trend.
If they're ready to go back to an all quiz format, I'm ready to re-enter the fray.
I
am waiting by the phone here. Can we give the number? No, that would probably be
1-888 WANO or WAC now. Michael Feldman is on the phone with us right now here, and we're going to keep him on the phone for as long as until we start to get him bored. Tell us some Jim Packard stories. Jim was such a big part of your show, and I have to say you've had a couple of really good announcers since then. But
only one Jim Packard.
Yeah, you guys played off each other so well. Tell us about Jim Packard a little bit.
Well, Jim, like I said,
he was a radio guy. He was a hardcore radio guy.
He was an actual radio guy. So I held him in his. He was on something we had in Madison called Radio Free Madison. On WIBA FM back in the 70s.
Okay.
You know, when they were playing the entire sides of albums?
Sure. Progressive rock, album rock.
That. Okay. Yeah, they were doing that, you know, and that says Radio Free Madison, you know, and it was like we were behind the Iron Curtain. But so that was cool. That was no claim to fame.
Well, wait, I have to interrupt you for a minute.
Well,
Madison,
back when he was
Madison, Wisconsin is known for being super conservative, I believe, right? Kind of like Berkeley. That was a joke. Madison, Wisconsin is known for being so conservative that you would have to have the Radio Free Madison. Never mind. We're going to edit that out of the West Coast feed.
You're very right. Anyhow, he was Jim St. John at that time. He got the, you know, they all had names. And that's the other thing, the name, you know, Michael Feldman is not really a regular name. I thought of doing, my middle name is Elliot, and I thought it would be Michael.
Michael Elliot.
Or Elliot Michaels, but it sounds so stupid, I never did it. But anyhow, so Jim, and Jim has a voice, Jim has a great voice, because he speaks well, but it's real friendly and real Midwestern, you know. And he's got the good tones and stuff. So this is perfect. And originally, he was sort of assigned to me. And when we started, we went back to do this show, you know. No, I said, well, you could use an announcer. And I said, I could. I guess that meant that I could use an announcer. And so Jim was assigned me. And I don't know. I just got back from a really horrible working experience with someone else in WGN, you know. A former traffic copter reporter.
You tell that story in I believe your first book, and it is fun to read, but I'll bet it wasn't fun to live.
No, because she had a voice that could be heard over
helicopter
props, you know. Yeah, and so it's hard to work against it, because I'm very, you know, thoughtful and provocative, and one thing leads to another. And I couldn't think over her, you know, because I could hear the props behind her.
Whose idea was it to team the two of you up, by the way?
Jim turned out, Jim, you know, it wasn't exactly like Groucho and George Fenneman, but it sort of was in a way. And it wasn't intentional, because he would play off, and he would, like George Fenneman always said, get in his own shots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually he took a lot of abuse from Groucho, but he would always get in his own shots, and that's, people sort of waited for that, you know, so it was cool. It's the best, as I said about it, it was the best long-term relationship I've ever had, was with Jim Peck. And I miss him.
I can tell in the tribute show you guys
did. One thing with Jim, though, was he thought he could sing.
Oops.
This is always a mistake. And it was somewhat hilarious. So I would set him up, and I'd let him sing on, he's, you know, Ghost Riders in the Sky. And then he did Jimi Hendrix, you know. and they were all hilarious. It was the funniest thing I ever heard. And he was really singing his heart out, you know. And once we got a live gig, and a singing gig, and I thought, well, what are you going to do, Jim? He said, well, I'm going to play guitar. I said, do you play guitar? He said, well, no, I bought one. He got like a serious silver tone guitar. He couldn't play it. And I said, no, I've got it. And he showed me, he had a chord chart there. He had like three chords on a chart. And he got this gig, and Ben Sidran played on it. He got an orchestra together. Ben Sidran and Clyde played behind him. And he got this club thing, and he was up there. He did Tangled Up in Blue, and it was never that tangled up, ever. And he stood there holding the guitar. And, it was an amazing moment. But God love him. It was really good.
Michael Feldman talking about the late Jim Packard, a longtime announcer on What Do You Know. You have broached another subject that I wanted to ask you about. How did you come to accumulate such great musicians as you have had as your backup, your featured players there on What Do You Know for so many years?
You know what? They're easy. Musicians are easy to accumulate. They're hard to get rid of, I've discovered.
Okay.
You know, John Tulin, I seem to have adopted. He was still in his early 20s.
Okay.
And I was doing a show, we did a show called AM Saturday, which was from a local bar in Hotel Washington, and called the Club to Wash. And he played on it. He was part of a trio. I had a guitar and a guitar bass and him. And at some point, I promised his mother, as long as I had a job, that John would have one, because he wasn't much of a go-getter. He was a pretty good piano player, and I actually got better and better over the years as he played. But he didn't look for any other gigs, and so I've, I, you know, He's on the podcast, so it's been like 34 years now, and I'd like to think that my time is up, and looking after him. But he's a great guy, but they stay for a long time. These guys, Clyde
Stubblefelder just passed away. The funky drummer,
Clyde Stubblefield. Clyde Stubblefield came to Madison for some unknown reason. His brother got here first, I guess, Frank, and he was still doing the gigs, with the Great One. And they came, they played in Madison or something, and he loved it. And he said, Clyde could see, retreating there.
Yeah.
It had to be too much. James Brown review was pretty hard.
Sure.
James Brown would fine a drummer if he missed a beat. And he went out of his way to make sure they'd miss the beat. He changed the beat all the time in what he was doing. And so if he pointed at you, it was $5. But if he put his fist at you, it was like $25. So Clyde would end up working for free. Plus, he usually didn't pay for it. So it was a terrible thing. So finally, he quit, after a gig. He played in Vietnam and everything,
mm-hmm.
James Brown. And he quit after one of those and came to Madison and lived here and met him. Actually, I met him through Jim, because Jim was on the radio at that time. Radio Free Madison, one of the first to welcome Clyde to Madison. And Jim said, I can get you Clyde Stubblefield. And I said, cool. So he came on in that first year, which is 1985.
Wow.
In June, and he played the game. We had so much fun together. He tried to show me how to play the drums, and it was pretty funny. And he was so funny. And we had a good rapport right off the bat. So I said, you should play with us when we go on the road. And he did, and starting in 86 and every year since then, So, like I say, they're easy to acquire, but they're hard to get rid of. I love Clyde. I miss him terribly, too. And we had an amazing sort of rapport. I could say things to Clyde that no one else ever could, I think. And he
kept coming back. He very rarely went...
Accept them graciously.
He rarely went on the tours with you, though, correct? Almost never,
no,
I don't think.
No, he went on all the road shows.
Did he? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He didn't play in the studio on our regular weekly show, because otherwise he'd be standing right behind me with that damn kick drum of his.
So I had it backwards.
Yeah.
I had it backwards.
And he would do it on purpose. It really bounced me off about a foot about off my seat. So.
Michael Feldman is the creator and host of What Do You Know, longtime public radio staple, now on your iPod, on your podcast machine, wherever you like it, your Android or your smartphone, on iTunes and everywhere else, or you can go to whatdoyouknow.net. You can also find Michael on Twitter at MyFeldman. I feel like we have another song coming on. We asked you to play guest disc jockey for us in this hour. It's by the way, you're listening to Radio 9 here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, and on the internet at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, 131 right now. Much more Michael Feldman time. I feel like we have a couple more songs here for you. What's our next song that we're going to hear that you're going to guest
let's
DJ?
At least do the Royal Lancers, because, I fought the Law and the Law one that Bobby Fuller for. He had a huge hit on that.
But this is a Milwaukee group that we're going to play?
Robin, people with a six gun.
Bum, bum, bum,
you know,
bum,
that
bum.
One's a great song. But there was a group in Milwaukee called the Royal Lancers, and they actually, I think, there was used to be a recording studio in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and the label, and I forget the name of the label, it was called like Waukesha Label or something, I don't know. But they did, I fought the long law, and I assumed that they wrote it or something, because I heard it before Bobby Fuller, but Bobby Fuller may have written that, I don't know. But it was a huge hit here, all the way from downtown Milwaukee to Waukesha and Oconomowoc. ruled the charts in Oconomowoc.
Did it make it to Kenosha?
Kenosha, I think Kenosha had its own thing going
on. Okay, there you go.
Lake.
Anyways.
But I don't think it made it as far as Kenosha. But I fought the law, and the law won, the Royal Lancers from Milwaukee.
The Royal Lancers from Milwaukee. Michael Feldman with Jay Thurber here on Radio 9 on a Saturday afternoon.
W-O-K-Y,
Milwaukee. Breaking lots in the heart, I fought long and long. I miss my baby Hannah, the good fun. I fought the long and the long one. I fought the long and the long one. I left my baby and I feel so bad. I guess my race is wrong. She's the best girl I've ever had. I fought the long and the long one. I fought the long and the long one.
The group there that defined the Conemaugh sound, but not the Kenosha sound, the Royal Lancers.
Radio Million Dollar Weekend.
With Jay Thurber and Michael Feldman here on Radio 9.
You got to do is get the Bobby Fuller 4 version and just stick it in there. No one will know the difference.
It is a little bit of a different take on that song. A little bit of a warble there at the at the program.
More of a warble than I recall there being.
Yeah, we'll fix people to have that. We'll have no idea what we're talking about because I'm going to fix that up in post production. Is
fix
what I'm going to do.
Up. Fix that up in post. We'll fix it in post.
We'll fix
it's
it.
A wonderful
we'll
word
fix it in post.
Radio.
Or as Bill O'Reilly said, F it, we'll do it live. WhatDoYouKnow.net is the website to find all the What Do You Know, including you're reaching way back into the archives here. Back to 1985, people can hear now the old shows. Can also
We're up to 1997. 98 should be coming up by next week. So we're getting into it.
Let me ask you this. Is this fun for you to pull those old shows out? Because sometimes I listen to myself and I say, I wish I hadn't done that. And other times it's like I was listening to an old tape last night and I said, that's not a bad show. I'd listen to this show. You having fun?
Well, I get both reactions to it. I really enjoy it because I love hearing the people there and they're having a good time and enthusiasm and And I listened to myself, and by the 10th year, my voice dropped an octave, so that was good. I wasn't talking quite as fast and chipmunk-like. I can definitely do a critique of my style, but because I didn't used to listen to the shows after doing them, so that's always a bad thing to do. You don't want to get self-conscious about your quirkiness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, yeah, no, it's fun to hear him again. It really is, actually.
Tell us about the setup that you have had these last couple of months at the High Noon Saloon there in Madison. How does it work? You're doing the show. It sounds live, even though we're not usually hearing it live, although I think you do stream it on the Internet, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been on YouTube. You can watch it live on YouTube. It's a chance to work while you're drinking.
There you go.
And drink while you're working. You know, which outside of Milwaukee was an unknown thing. In Milwaukee, the garbage workers would park at a bar on their lunch break. You'd always see the garbage trucks at the local tavern, you know.
I don't blame them.
Because it was part of the constitution of Milwaukee when they were part of their own Bavarian city-state. But, that's Bloody Marys were really good, and I found that I could work through them. I don't think it improved the show.
I don't think it hurt the show though either.
It's a danger of working in any place that ends in saloon. you know. But we got it was live audience, live music, and the same group, you know. John is still there with me, and you know, and Jeff Hammond. Now we have we had two Jeffs, actually. Jeff Eccles.
Jeff Eccles is here.
Jeff Hammond. Yeah, and they, you know, it's about 15 years each, so that's decent, decent work. And you know, and we do the phone-in thing. You know, it's kind of, we're not really live, but we get people watch on YouTube and they can call in. We've got the phone set up there, so it's quasi live, and it sounds pretty much like the show did, except there's definitely drinking going on.
It sounds very good, and that's one of the things that, as a podcast, makes the thing stand out, because it's got very high production values, and other than Mark Maron's WTF podcast, I don't think there's too many people that are incorporating a live audience and incorporating music and all kinds of other things that you're trying to do there. How long, if I can ask a personal question, how long you think you can continue? I know you're on a hiatus right now.
I'm on a hiatus.
Yeah. Aren't you on a little bit, taking a little bit of a spring break right now?
I never knew what one was, and now I am one, you know?
Yeah.
Some people would say I'm on a hiatus. I say, well, that's cool. We're going to try another version of much the same thing in the fall. It won't be from the High Noon Saloon. But we're looking at the Capital Brewery.
Okay. Hey.
Which is in Middleton, Wisconsin, and they do a lot of live shows there and stuff, so... That could. I'm hoping that will happen.
Hopefully, we'll get a chance to see you someday, because we were seriously looking at my wife's a bit of a Frank Lloyd Wright fan, and you were at the Monona Terrace for all those years. We thought, we thought could they take a little trip up to Madison? We've got friends in Appleton. Yes. We'll swing up to Appleton while we're up there, and we'd love to see you at the Capital Brewery. But as you were posting stuff on Facebook that, well, this is our last week at the High Noon Saloon, I was getting a little bit nervous here. I was going to wonder what am I going to do for my What Do You Know fix, but. Sounds like it's going to continue, huh?
Yes, we have to keep it alive for people who are still, you know, doing their bucket tours. That's the thing. I had a woman who came to one of the radio shows, not the last one, but somewhere in there, second to last year. And she must have been 90 years old, and she was so funny, and she was from a small town in Wisconsin or something. And she came. And she rushed up to the stage and said, "I want to take my picture. Can I take a picture with you? I want a picture with you." I said, "Oh, sure, of course, I'd love to." Mm-hmm. She said, "I want it for my funeral board." She said, "I threw all the pictures off of my funeral board. I didn't like them. I want you to be on my funeral board." And I thought it was so hilarious. And at the same time, I was so touched by it. But that's, you know, we had a lot of that funeral board crowd, you know, for the last, you know, year of the show there. So. We got to make that available, because I thought it was suddenly something important. You had a funeral board.
You've had that, though. You've had that where my voice is going. My voice is changing. Your voice went down. My voice is changing.
Mine has gotten
finally. I finally hit puberty.
A crawl and a stop. You know, that's happened.
17 years in radio, and of course I'm hitting puberty now. Michael Feldman with us here on Radio 9 with Jay Thurber at 1:41. Much more music time. We'll have FSN News coming up at 2:00. We're going to keep Michael with us for a couple minutes more, as long as he can put up with us and sustain us. You had that, though, with 30 years in radio. It was not uncommon, and it has not been uncommon, to hear people say, you know, I was on the show as a kid, and now I'm bringing my own kids here. Or, we were on our honeymoon, and we saw your show, and now we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. On the one hand, boy, that makes you feel old. But on the other hand, that's very gratifying, huh?
Yeah, I think it's kind of unique. I don't know, because it's always been about the audience when they come to the show. So we talk to people, we learn about them, family, and they're always funny, you know. If there's one skill I actually do have, it's kind of bringing people, you know, making people, I think it's because if they think I can do this, you know, anybody can listen. It's not such a big thing to talk on the air, you know, it really isn't, you know, despite everything that's, you know, written and talked about it. It's you know, just so bringing people out, and so they talk about the family stuff and their kids and stuff, and then you know, you're on long enough, then the kids come and talk about their parents around the show, and then they bring their kids, you know.
Uh-oh. I don't know what happened there, but we lost Michael, so we're going to play a little public service announcement, and we will be right back, hopefully, with more Michael Feldman here on Radio 9 with Jay Thurber.
Out of the busy little bee, increase each shining hour.
He keeps his dial tuned right here all weekend long, like you and me.
It's a wonderful weekend with your radio.
Ah, yes. Well, if you didn't want to talk to me anymore, Michael, you just said so. I mean, geez, you're not that heck.
No, I honestly don't know what I did.
That's okay. Michael Feldman is back on the line with us from Madison, Wisconsin, 144. About 16 minutes to go until 2 o'clock here on Radio 9 with Jay Thurber here on 88.3 WRCT and on Internet Radio, WMCK.FM. What has been the biggest shift?
Nice to hear those jingles, by the way.
You know,
that's
God.
The other thing I miss is the radio jingles from... You know, Walkie in Milwaukee was our big one, and you know,
oh, man.
And then WRIT had its own little jingle and stuff. Do they still do that other than your station?
Other than radio jingles? Not even this station. Other than this 3 hours nonsense on the radio on Saturday afternoons. That's pretty much it. And I have to tell you, by the way, I'm really grateful that I don't have to compete with you anymore on the radio. I've definitely seen my audience has doubled. I've gone from one listener, hi mom, to two. So there we go. What do you know? .net. You can get all of the current shows and as well as the old shows. You can also find him on SoundCloud. You can also find him on Twitter at My Feldman and on Facebook. Michael Feldman is the creator and host of What Do You Know? Author. I counted 10 books. He says that I'm wrong. You working on any new books lately?
No.
Okay. That's...
No. I thought I might do the selected works. And just put out another 7 of basically the same material. I don't know. I don't think so. No, I haven't. You know, I haven't heard from any. No one's thrown any money at me to do anything.
Tell us about your visit to. This is a very funny story in one of your first books. Tell us about your visit to Late Night with David Letterman, if you don't mind.
Well, it was very uncomfortable.
You were on there with Kmar, the discount magician?
They forgot to pick me up at my hotel.
Oh, geez.
You know, and it was time for the show, and I thought, okay. All right, so finally they did, and beforehand they do the screening with you. So they said, you know, do your best to engage David, because if he's not engaged, it won't be good. You know, all right, so I've been a host for you know, 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. and I thought it was my job as a host to engage the guests. You know,
right.
So I had to fly to New York from Madison, Wisconsin, you know, and it was kind of scary, you know, just to do that and try to engage David Letterman, you know, to make him like me and stuff. And so they told us a few things, what are you going to talk about, what this and so forth. And I did a thing about sperm donors, I don't know, and I said, okay, that's like. And so I got out there, and I sort of tripped going onto the stage, and it was not a graceful entrance, and he didn't know who I was,
and he
was kind of flipping through his cards, and I was trying to engage him, and it didn't seem to work, and I got a couple of chortles from him, and maybe a chuckle, and actually I was the last guy on the show. I followed that, you know, used to have a sword swallower guy.
Kmar, the discount magician.
Exactly.
Yep.
That was him.
Yep.
I followed him.
Oh, God.
And that's a hard act to follow. I don't care.
I don't care who you are. Following a sword swallower on David Letterman is a hard act to follow, yes.
I had the wrong material.
Oh,
to follow,
man.
A sword swallower. I was swallowing my tongue, I think, more than anything. And then I was off, and they in my car did not come to pick me up, to take me back to the hotel, and that was David Letterman. They never called again.
And I'm so. Sure you're not regretting that too much.
I regret it. I wish I could have engaged him. You know, what I relate to most about David Letterman is now he's walking around with his beard and shaving. He doesn't look like himself, and he's unkempt, and he doesn't care, and I think that's, I can understand that now. You know,
that's why I went into radio in the first place, so I could walk around unkempt. Michael Feldman is our guest for a couple of more minutes. I want to ask you about something, and if this is an area that's off limits, you tell me. But when you
off limits,
okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, good night, everybody. We're running a little bit long.
That's my safe word. I'm sorry.
I thought it was kafefi. By the time people are listening to this, that joke will be old. We'll be on to the president's next announcement. By the way, the president saying as we're the United States is pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords said that yeah. Well, he was elected. He said, and this is relevant to our discussion. He was elected to represent the people of Pittsburgh, not the people of Paris. And the mayor of Pittsburgh tweeted out, actually, you lost Pittsburgh by about 25 points, and you lost the county by about 16 points. So you weren't elected in Pittsburgh either. Anyways.
Bad choice of town.
Of all the places.
He should have said Hershey.
You know what? I bet he carried Hershey. Those chocolate eating. Anyways, I wanted to ask you about, and like I said, if this is off limits, that's just tell me. But when you left, we'll put it that way. When you fired Wisconsin Public Radio, your daughters, it seemed like, stepped up, and I know you've mentioned them on the radio before, but they were, I think, very visible in when your fans kind of rallied. It seemed like your daughters were helping coordinate some of that response. Am I accurate about that?
Well, that's Ellie. See, okay. Ellie is now my daughter Ellie, the oldest one, who's really like a kick-ass real estate agent. Now,
okay,
who still lives at home.
Okay,
so there's that. You know, that's the way
she's waiting to sell the house. Is what she's doing. She's going to put a sign out in front of yours.
She's still the only real estate agent who still lives at home.
There you go.
But she's really good at it. But you know, she doesn't take anything lying down. I mean, and personally, I take everything lying down. So she gets that from her mother.
Okay.
But anyhow, so when this all hit the fan and everything, and people were saying, no, they can't do it. Don't take him off. You know, so they're all going on Facebook. So she actually answered every Facebook letter and forwarded it to the station and actually melted down their email there. They actually shut down their email because there's quite a few, hundreds if not more. Emails and stuff, and I had to sort of disengage myself from her, saying, "Listen, I'm not doing this, because labor practices or whatever, employee practices,
right?
Frown on that sort of thing." She was really.
It's nice to have the built-in. It's nice to have that built-in fan coordinator or fan club service person, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, but I'll tell you, as a result of that, they have expunged me entirely from even the records.
Oh boy!
Of Wisconsin Public Radio. Now there's no reruns of the show. They can do the archive thing. I had to do that myself. There's, I've been erased.
How did that work, though?
I'd like to think it's because of my daughter Ellie.
There you go. How did you get to keep the intellectual property? Because that was one thing I was worried about. Was that will all the old shows go away? But no, you're putting them up on your website, so
I'll
you got to keep
intellectual
them.
Property. It's my intellect. It should be my property. Okay. But the way it is, actually, they technically they own the finished radio shows.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what the first 10-15 years on Reel to Reel in the attic of Vilas Hall next to the heat ducts.
Oh,
they've been there for 15 years cooking up there. And they don't really exist anymore. I mean, they would go up there in the attic and take down a reel, these giant reels of tape, Ampex, whatever. And they'd have to, what do? They'd bake it or something.
Yeah, so not sticky. These old tapes get sticky.
And then they can use it one more time before it actually disappears, like, Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It destroys itself. But they don't do that too often. So I have all my air tape, my cassette tapes, from all. So I've transposed those into MP3s because I want people want to say, there's no the shores. So I said, okay, and I've been doing that. So and I put up my own expense, my own tapes, and just put up there so they'd have. So there'd be something there, because I think it's kind of, I don't know, I think it's, as a sociologist, in the year 2525, we'll think that we live like this.
In the last minute or a couple of minutes we have left, are you taking donations? Are you taking underwriting? How are you, who's footing the bill for this adventure right now?
Well, we did a Kickstarter.
Yep.
Because people, everyone was saying, do a podcast, do a best, and do it. I said, And then, okay, so I went on Kickstarter. And I thought, well, okay, you can list this. I'll just see, you know. And we raised like $20,000 in Kickstarter. But, you know, me, I'm doing a full production here.
Yeah.
So $20,000 is about one semester of the show, because I got to pay these musicians.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have no other source of income, and I'm liable for them for the rest of my of their working lives and mine. So,
like you said, you accumulated them, and they won't go away.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the first semester, it paid for it. And the second semester is, well, I applied for my Social Security. And I got it in a lump sum. So it worked out perfectly. So basically, the Social Security Administration funded the second semester of the What Do You Know podcast. But from here on in, we have to look for other sources, because I might need them down the road.
We are, exactly. So people need to follow you on My Feldman on Twitter. Look for you on Facebook at What Do You Know, or go to the website whatdoyouknow.net. When do you think your fall semester will start up again?
Well, it would be in September.
Okay.
We're looking forward to doing that.
Okay.
What we did last time around was we do two live broadcasts, two-hour broadcasts a month for 4 months, and that's a semester for us. And we end up getting like 16 podcasts out of that.
Okay.
And we do another semester. Hopefully, we end up with a 32 podcast full year.
One of the great delights of following you on Twitter is your headlines. And the mind is blanking. All the news that isn't.
Yes.
And you've had plenty of material to work with these last few months with our president.
Yes. All unwanted.
Well.
You know, it's material that writes itself, but I would like to crumple it up and throw it away, frankly.
I had Mark Russell.
It's too easy. It's too easy and it's too hard at the same time. You know, it's just it's a little bit unreal now in terms of doing. You know, and it's people talk about it in terms of people who are actually comedians and they're trying to make humor out of all this Kathy Griffith side.
Oh boy,
it's a real dilemma. Is what you do with something that is so completely turning the ship around, ship of state around, and trying to make humor of it. It's a difficult time, and which I found with audiences too in talking about this stuff, is that they weren't ready to laugh yet at Trump jokes, you know, from the beginning. And I wasn't particularly ready to deliver it. You know, I mean, it's a difficult situation. It's not like in the Clinton years, which it was fairly titillating, depending on what
was more silly than anything else. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it's been a challenge humor wise.
Well, you have not been a challenge humor wise. You've been making people laugh for a long time, and we'll be looking forward to the new run of shows coming up this fall. But in the meantime, we can slake our What Do You Know thirst. Wow, that sounded pompous, didn't it? By going to the website and listening to some of the old shows that you are archiving for us at whatdoyouknow.net. Michael Feldman has been our guest. What do you want to play us out with, Jockey, for this hour?
Well, of course, you know, we're talking about the Kingsmen here, because if you were in high school in the 60s, there was one song that implied a lot and never really came through with it, but that would be Louie Louie.
Louie Louie by the Kingsmen will take us up to the 2 o'clock news. Michael Feldman has been our guest. Follow him on Twitter at MyFeldman or find him online at whatdoyouknow.net. You're listening to Radio 9. These are the Kingsmen.
Music in Milwaukee,
WOKY. Yeah.
Kingsman here on Radio 9 with Jay Thurber. FSN News is coming up next, and then we'll check your music calendar. You're tuned to the new sound of the Mon Valley. Internet radio, WMCK.FM, McKeesport. And independent freeform radio, owned and operated by the students at Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. It's 2 o'clock.